further adventures in not knowing this time on Culture File, as we go on the trail of the possibly German, certainly elusive author of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, a figure whose writings are under inspection in Tygo Sullivan's latest Cloud of Unknowing.
The great filmmaker John Huston traveled to Mexico in 1946 for his new movie, The Treasure of Sierra Madre, a story of gold and greed starring Humphrey Bogart. Early one morning, in his hotel, Huston awoke to find a man standing at the end of his bed. The man introduced himself as Hal Croves. Croves claimed to be a representative of the writer B. Travin, whose novel Huston was adapting. Travin, according to a letter given to Huston by his mysterious visitor, was indisposed and had sent Croves to represent his interests. Croves was on set for most of the shoot, overseeing production, sometimes offering notes. Huston began to suspect that Croves, aloof and preferring not to be photographed, was in fact the enigmatic B. Travin, then an internationally famous author whose true identity was veiled in secrecy. After filming was finished, Croves, or Travin, or whoever he was, disappeared. Huston went back to Hollywood with the makings of a hit movie, but more questions than answers when it came to his key collaborator, and perhaps identity in general.
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Between 1926 and 1968, a dozen novels plus numerous short stories and essays were published, translated, and sold under the name B. Travin. The fiction, mostly literary adventures set in exotic locations, dealt with power and revolution, often centering a character who struggles to overcome inhumane conditions of oppression or exploitation. Travin's subject was power and the injustices played out in the arenas of labor and land, oil fields, gold rushes, powerful corporations, corrupt politicians. The turbulent political and social world of early 20th century Mexico provided Travin's material and his refuge. B. Travin, the initial never expanded to an actual first name, was a nom de plume. The identity behind it was jealously hidden. His publishers never met him and were under strict instruction never to discuss his life. Travin refused fame on principle. For him, the work, not the man, was important. His anarchist philosophy rejected the emerging capitalist capture of the individual. His was a time when bureaucracy, permits, and paper were evolving as tools of control and constraint, particularly in relation to movement and labor. The passport, institutionalized in the wake of World War I, was the iconic document of this shift. This philosophy found its fullest expression in Travin's most famous work, The Death Ship, which was published in 1926 and adapted by Georg Tressler 30 years later as Das Totenschiff. The Death Ship is the story of an American sailor called Gerard Gales, who, the morning after a shore leave tryst in Antwerp, finds himself without his papers. Overnight, Gales becomes an illegal alien, unable to work, repeatedly arrested and deported. He eventually finds employment and passage on a rickety old steamer called the Yorick. Once at sea, Gales is forced to labor under ever worsening conditions, his wages withheld, the ship slowly falling apart, amongst a crew of misfits and dropouts. Eventually he and we realize that the ship is doomed. The Yorick is a so-called death ship, worth more to its owners as an insurance claim should it happen to meet some unfortunate end at sea. The death ship is a damning indictment of the era's nexus of capitalism, labor, borders, and bureaucracy, and the profiteers who thrived within it. Gales' story might hold some clue as to how the German Travin wound up living in Mexico, extolling an urgent anti-establishment philosophy. Such a philosophy meant nothing, however, to those looking for a story. In 1979, 10 years after his death, the BBC broadcast a documentary asserting with its title, B. Traven, A Mystery Solved.
When I think I have enough proofs, I tell him, I think, you are B. Traven. He was very upset, and then later he becomes very quickly angry.
So that's your spanking game, is it? Informing. I knew you was an informer. I knew it all the time.
Traven's anonymity was a bold and angry work in itself. Perhaps his greatest, and in spite of the efforts of those who sought to destroy it, his most enduring. Traven understood that the freedom to withdraw from the new bureaucracy was a freedom that needed to be upheld and defended. He knew that the emerging Western-led system was biased heavily in favour of the powerful, and that it did nothing for the powerless, other than to place their lives and their labour at the bottom of a carefully rigged system. Traven saw that with papers would necessarily come the sans-papiers, that with the reconfigured nation-state would come the stateless, that with the idea of legal persons would come the absurd and tragic idea of an illegal person, whose fate would, metaphorically or actually, be that of the sailor Gerard Gales, who, at the end of the death ship, is delirious and adrift in the open sea, on a piece of flotsam, calling to his dead friend, "We don't need papers anymore." In the Spanish enclave of Melilla in North Africa some years ago, I met a young man living at a detention centre for refugees. His journey had taken him on foot across the Sahara, through Libya and onto an overcrowded boat on the Mediterranean. Having survived the sinking of that boat, he made his way to the Moroccan hills above Melilla, eventually setting foot in Europe after scaling a 3-metre barbed wire fence. On the way, he burned off his fingerprints, having been told that this biometric anonymity would hinder his forced return. He called himself Omar.
Tygo Sullivan's Cloud of Unknowing there, and check out the Culture File pages on the RTE Lyric FM site for all the previous clouds. And if you are thinking of making the jump from Twitter, you'll find Culture File's newest home on Blue Sky.